On Monday's front page, the country that started the Arab Spring held its first free election. Tunisians, who brought down a dictator 9 months ago, lined up to vote for candidates who will shape their fledgling democracy. European leaders are promising that within days they'll work out a plan to deal with the debt crisis. And Republican candidates in this country are fueling anger at federal judges. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Tunisians lined up to vote. They cast ballots for an assembly that will draft a constitution and shape a new government, as we hear in this report from Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick.
There were long lines, very orderly crowds in many places, and the people were extraordinarily optimistic and confident.
We are going to build Tunisia, a democratic country. It's like the founding fathers in America.
Many seem to think that the act of voting itself was going to change Tunisian history for the better. This was an important step on their path to democracy. Ennahda, Tunisia's very moderate Islamist party, is expected to be the big winner. Their party leaders have said they hope to establish a very tolerant, pluralistic democracy that will be very respectful of individual freedoms. Some of their supporters casting votes for Ennahda said they hope for a much more vigorous interpretation of Islamic law, restricting profanity or blasphemy in the popular culture, or even the sale of alcohol, which is right now very common here.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick in Tunis. Also on Monday's front page, leaders of the 27 European Union nations made progress toward dealing with their financial and economic problems. They say they'll have a complete package ready within days. Times reporter Stephen Erlanger said there was a consensus that Europe had to attack fundamental issues and stop merely putting out the brush fire of the moment. Officials are concerned about the worsening situation in Greece and the rising cost of borrowing for Spain and Italy. Monday's Times profiles Defense Secretary Leon Panetta. He has to balance major military cuts against the shifting spectrum of national security threats. He's already warned against hollowing out the military. Times reporter Peter Baker says he's heading into dangerous territory as he looks for $450 billion in spending cuts. If a new congressional debt committee can't come up with a deficit reduction agreement by Thanksgiving, Panetta faces what he calls a doomsday mechanism. That would trigger an extra $500 billion in reductions. Republican presidential candidates are attacking the federal court system and the role it plays in American life. That's fueling conservative skepticism about the judiciary. Monday's Times says this isn't really new, but the attacks are raising broader questions about how the legal system might be reshaped if a Republican wins in 2012. Texas Governor Rick Perry favors term limits for Supreme Court justices. Representatives Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul say they would forbid the court from deciding cases on same-sex marriage. Here in New York, some private schools are trying to lighten the load. The Dalton School on the Upper East Side is delaying the January midterms so students won't have to study during vacation. They won't have to wait that long for a break. Dalton is also staggering tests and papers this semester so students don't feel overloaded. Times reporter Jenny Anderson says schools like Dalton and Trinity and Horace Mann are giving up their marine-like mentality when it comes to homework. Some parents point to the 2010 documentary Race to Nowhere, which focused on the detrimental effects of overprogramming students. The students in the film ended up lacking joy as well as sleep. Monday's Times says the slaughter of horses is continuing, but not in the U.S. The last meat processing plant that slaughtered horses shut down 5 years ago. But there's still an appetite in Europe and Asia, so now horses are sent to Mexico and Canada. A recent federal study says that's only one of the unintended consequences of a de facto federal ban on slaughtering horses. Inside Monday's Times, Libya's transitional council said the revolution is over and a constitution will be built around Islamic principles. A ceremony in Benghazi signaled the beginning of a transition to an elected government within 20 months. It may not be easy. With Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi dead, there's no one on the political landscape. Already, the interim government has had to struggle to calm regional and factional disputes. Kenya says foreign military forces have joined the fighting against Shabab militants in Somalia. American officials denied taking part. There have been airstrikes, and the Kenyan military says the French Navy has also shelled rebel positions from the water. One official in Washington says the Kenyan offensive has forced Shabab fighters and commanders to disperse, making them easier potential targets. Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman isn't running for re-election, but he's not fading away either. He's met with two Republicans who want to take his place. That has Democrats angry. Since 2006, Lieberman has been an independent who's allied with the Democratic majority in the Senate. One top Democratic official in Washington says Lieberman, who ran for vice president back in 2000, has a lot of resentment toward Democrats. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.